James chapter number 4, going to finish up speaking on the topic. Of course, Thursday nights this year are about topics that we don't want to talk about, but they're important to speak on. And so we started talking a month ago about a critical spirit and being overcritical. And we lay down a few foundational things. I'm sure I need to review a lot of those, but I'll go really quick. Does God have a critical spirit? No, He doesn't. Does He hold the truth? Absolutely. What the opposite of having a critical spirit, and we talked about it, but the opposite, I think, in definition, would be having a gracious spirit. And the Lord is gracious. A critical spirit is a destroyer of what's good. It's one of the most difficult things and difficult spirits and difficult sins to deal with. It's always rooted in pride. It's kind of get that attitude like the Pharisee, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men are. That's a critical spirit. A critical spirit leaves someone in complete isolation, pride, depression, misery, because they're acting like the devil. Because the devil has a critical spirit. That's what caused his rebellion in the first place. He thought he could do better sitting on the throne than God. He is, in the book of Revelation, an accuser of the brethren. What is that? That's a critical spirit. Look at them. Look at what they're doing. That's a critical spirit. Here in James chapter number 4, look at verse number 6. But He giveth more what? Grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Down to verse number 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Did you see that? Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, that's a critical spirit. Speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Again, we got to be careful not to speak evil. Now, taking a stand for right is great. I'm not in any way talking about compromising. You can speak the truth, but the Lord tells us how to speak the truth. We are to speak the truth how? In love. Not with a critical spirit. But a critical spirit is extremely contagious. A critical spirit is one of great pride. Pastors can become critical of people. People can become critical of their pastor. Parents can become critical of their children. Children can become critical of their parents. People can become critical of themselves. You can become critical of your boss at work. The fact is this, that we can become quite critical people, and what it does, it destroys our lives, and it makes us most miserable people. Instead, we need to live a life of grace. And again, if you have a critical spirit, the answer is to humble yourself and receive the grace of God. If someone's been critical to you, the answer is to humble yourself and receive the grace of God. A critical spirit always sees the negative in everything. A critical spirit will always look at anything going on and point out every flaw. A critical spirit will never see things as being positive. They always look for the negative qualities in everyone else. They're always complaining. They're always upset at other people. You say, do I have a critical spirit? We talked about this a month ago. But a person with a critical spirit always says very harsh things right after they say, I'm just being honest. I'm just telling it like it is. I have to share my opinion. And again, there's nothing wrong with sharing the truth, but it's the spirit of it and why we are doing it. And a critical spirit will always find something wrong with everything else that's going on. A critical spirit will always criticize and pass judgment upon other people and never in themselves. A critical spirit will always find it difficult to find a positive in a person and always feel like it is their calling in life to criticize everyone else in mankind. You say, well, how about constructive criticism? It's good. And I gave some thoughts about constructive criticism. Constructive criticism is always done directly. You always speak to the person themselves. In other words, you know, if you don't like the way that Brother York drives, all right, then you talk to him about it, not to everyone else in the church. You go to him. All right, it's always done directly. It's always done soberly. When you truly have corrective criticism, you're not being a total sarcastic person. You're not trying to make them feel terrible about themselves. You do it soberly with good thought. You do it with great honesty. You do it because you do it lovingly. But you want to bring deliverance to the person. We finished last month talking about the main three causes for a critical spirit. And what I and many others have found is that most people with a critical spirit usually is because of one of these three reasons. Number one is the self factor. They're full of envy. They want vengeance. They feel like it is necessary to tear someone else down so that they can be lifted up. The self factor. They're just jealous in a negative way. I think, again, I've tried to say jealous is a positive thing in the Bible. I guess envious is the best word there. But someone else gets a new car, they're going to criticize everything about it. Well, it's not the car I would have got. That car is going to break down in 6 months. That car, la-da-da-da-da-da, right? Who cares? It's not your car. But the person feels like they need to, or they'll say something like, well, it's about time I got a new car because I've been driving around a piece of junk forever, right? Critical. Stop it. It's a pride issue. And it's either a self factor or it's a fear factor. You feel threatened by someone else. Someone comes in and, I'll just use me as an illustration. I think I did this last time. Someone comes in and just preaches a great message. Oh, Brother F. Ferguson did a great job at Institute. Amen. Just a tremendous time, great attendance. Everyone just loved it. People shared how much they enjoyed it and praised the Lord. And a critical spirit would be me saying, well, you know, I could have probably done the same thing. Or, you know, if I had 6 months to study it and, you know, make all the excuses in the world. No, that's a critical spirit. Just praise God. God used Brother Ferguson in a great way. You say, he does a better job than you. Okay. Then I'm glad he's here, right? You know, a critical spirit doesn't feel threatened, or a critical does feel threatened. And if you don't have a critical spirit, you don't. And then there's the biggest thing, I think, is the control factor. They become critical because ultimately they like to be in charge. They're exercising their authority. So they're critical of everything, because if they led the choir, they would do a better job. If they ran the bus route, they would do a better job. If they taught the Sunday school class, they would do a better job, because they just love power, but not normally responsibility. So they avoid that, but they become very critical. So those three things are normally behind critical spirits. So that brought us to where we were, which is this: what are the causes and the cures for critical spirits? All right, and I know that where they come from is what we just talked about, but what are the causes and the cures? We'll break it down even more, all right, and do this as quick as we can. I'll run through this. Number one, turn over to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter 5, try to give you a scripture for each one of these. Galatians chapter number 5, and in verse number 16. Galatians 5 and verse number 16. Again, it's not running up and down the aisle sermon tonight, but it's something that we need. It's something that the Baptist Temple needs. It's something that your pastor needs. We all need. Because we all can get a very critical spirit at times. And you say, well, is it an issue at our church? Yep. It is. And so let's address it. You know, and let's fix it. Amen. You know, I have issues in my life, and God brings people to preach on it, and I have two reactions. I can either receive it and correct it, or I can get mad. And I hope that we'll all receive, right? Not don't get me wrong. I think probably most every church in the country has an issue with the critical spirit. It's not like I'm thinking we're a bunch of losers, right? You know, I'm just saying we're not the exception here. We will have it's an issue here too, just like everywhere else. All right, and it can raise its head a lot. Galatians 5 and verse number 16 says this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Number one cause, I believe, for a critical spirit is a sinful, selfish nature. A sinful, selfish nature. The cure for that, I'll give you the cause and the cure, right, Nick, back to back. The cure for that is to walk in the Spirit. Again, the verse says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I believe one reason for a critical spirit is because we're selfish. There's sin in our life. We are not walking by faith. We're walking by sight. We are to live our life by faith, not feelings. A critical spirit leaves someone in despair. Walking in the Spirit always leaves someone with hope. Someone who's walking in the flesh always leads to destruction. Every time. So someone with a critical spirit will always be destroying themselves or someone else. Tearing down, disassembling. But a person walking in the Spirit is always seeking to edify others and themselves. Building up our most holy faith. So one cause for a critical spirit is because it's a sinful, selfish nature, and we're walking in our flesh, and we need to walk in the Spirit. If you find yourself having a critical spirit, ask yourself and honestly answer, am I walking in the Spirit? And I just want to throw out a statement. How do you walk in the Spirit? It's daily being in the Word of God, having a walk with God, having a time of prayer, listening to God, obeying what you know is right to do. It is living the right kind of life as you find in the Word of God. Not running away from commands, not living in direct disobedience, but living a life surrendered to the Spirit and the Word of God, and doing your best to stay close to the Lord. A sinful nature will always lead someone to have a critical spirit. Number two, look over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians 15, number 2. A second cause and a cure for a critical spirit is a poor self-image. A poor self-image. People that have a poor self-image of themselves become very critical. The cure for that is to understand that God did not make a mistake with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 10. Look what Paul said. But by the grace of God, and remember, grace is the opposite of that critical spirit. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Paul understood this, that anything that he was because of God. David said it, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you know God didn't make any mistakes when He created you? God didn't drop the ball with your mold. A lot of times people that have a critical spirit, they'll be hurting, and hurting people always hurt other people. And when they feel this poor self-image about themselves, they become very critical. Well, that person can't sing at all. Who made their voice? Now, you might be better. But don't be critical of what God did. A poor self-image will lead people because, for whatever reason, because they're hurting, they feel the need to hurt other people. A lot of times parents will do this with their children. They'll have a poor self-image of themselves, and they want to live vicariously through their children. That's why they got their four-year-olds hitting golf balls with clubs and in the batting cages and pressure and yelling at them. And I always think that we should teach our kids to do their best. But you don't live your life through your children. and point out, you know, I've seen parents get mad at their kids because they missed a free throw and they have no relationship with their kids. I've watched this coaching, and their kids end up being very resentful to their parents, or their mom trying to live through a daughter because they have a poor self-image of themselves. We need to understand that God didn't make any mistakes. Amen. Number three, and this one's going to be, you might just stay with me here, all right? A third cause for a critical spirit is they've experienced very little of the grace of God in their life. They've experienced very little of the grace of God in their life. The cure is humility, repentance, and confession. Has God been gracious to you? I mean, we could talk about it all night, couldn't we? Remember the parable that was told about the guy that owed, you know, a huge amount. You know, we'll just say $100,000, right? And he owed this huge amount. And remember, he went to his creditor, and he said, "I just can't pay it back. I'm so sorry." And the creditor said, "All is forgiven." And what did that guy do? He went down to the guy who owed him $100. I mean, my commentary, right? But he went down to the guy that owed him $100, grabbed him by the throat, said, "Pay me now." And the guy said, "I can't." And he had that guy thrown in debtor's prison. $100 when he had just been forgiven $100,000, right? And the master brought in that guy and said, "What are you doing? Do you not remember what I forgave you for? How can you hold that against him?" Amen? Has God been gracious to you? Do you have shortcomings compared to the holiness of God? Do you have issues of carnality compared to the holiness of God? Boy, do we, right? Not even comparison. Has God been gracious to us through those times? A lot of time we forget our failures and we forget God's forgiveness in our life. That's what James 4, and there's your verse for it, James chapter 4 and verse number 6 was talking about where we started out tonight. I'll just read it to you real quick again. But James 4, 6, "But he giveth more grace." I don't care how much grace that you have to show in other people's lives and not have a critical spirit, but I promise you this, God showed more grace in your life than you ever will to anybody else. That's why God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I gave you a little confession. All right, one time I didn't do this. Me and my family and Miss Rachel and Brother Ricky and their family and a bunch of us, we went down to the Festival of Lights at the Cincinnati Zoo, and I parked in a spot. It was open. I parked. I started walking in, and this guy told me, "You can't park there." And I said, "It's a parking space." He said, "No, we want everybody down here." I said, "Well, there's no signs." And I had walked a long distance from where I parked. And the guy said, "You know, I'll park there." I said, "You're going to make me walk all the way back there. My family can't get in until I get over there just to move a car out of a spot that's open that didn't have a sign on it." And he said, "Yes." I said, "That's ridiculous." And, you know, he got kind of flustered. And I couldn't believe he's going to make me do that. My family's sitting there freezing, like, "Please, can we go in?" You know, and I'm just like, I am not going back there. So the guy called security on me. Yeah, your pastor. Right. And the manager there at the zoo came out, pulled me aside, and said, "You can leave your car there." And I was just like, "Thank you." He said, "It's really no problem. That guy shouldn't be giving you a hard fit because it was an open spot." And I'm feeling all good and bad about myself, right? Yeah, I won that one. He said, "I'm going to send that guy home too. His dad died today." Ouch, right? What if I'd have shown a little bit more grace, right? God sure has shown us grace. Every time you have a critical spirit, just remember you're ignoring the grace of God in your life. Well, I think we ought to. And there's going to be a lot of those situations come up the more we do things. Right. Saturday, there'll be situations come up. I don't think there should have. Well, just be careful with a critical spirit. Number four, another cause and a cure for a critical spirit is a negative and a pessimistic nature. Some people are very critical because their nature is to be negative and pessimistic. That's just the way they're made, the way they're geared. And I get that. I'm not that way. I'm a benefit of the doubt kind of guy. It's the way I'm geared, you know. Probably too much. If I'm one of those, the cup is half full, right? And I'm that guy. My wife's not. We balance each other out really good, right? She doesn't call it pessimistic. She calls it realist. Yeah, that's what she calls it, right? That's the term that she uses, right? It's people with that tendency will many times have a critical spirit, being a pessimist or just having a negative outlook on things. And so what's the cure for that? To see God's, now this is going to throw you off, write this down, to see God's view of Jesus. Whoa, right? What in the world am I talking about? To see God's view of Jesus. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. To see God's view of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, in verse number 16, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. This is like kind of one of those verses. You ever read a verse and you're just like, I don't really get that, so I'm just going to keep reading. Don't lie, we all have, right? This is one of those verses that for a long time I was like, I'll get back to that someday, right? This is a really good verse. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Anybody want to stand up and give me your commentary on that verse? All right, yeah. Yeah, it's one of those verses, right? You're just like, what? But it has the point here, and it's a really powerful point. Let's break it down. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. The only way we can know each other is how we're interacting. Right. I don't know your heart. Yeah. Right? I mean, I know what everyone claims to be, but I can't really see beyond what I can see. Right. And it's referenced in the Old Testament in Samuel. Man looketh on the outside, but God, he looketh on the heart. He can see that part that we can't see. So we know no one after the flesh. Now someday we'll all know each other after the flesh. Someday we'll be out of this flesh, we'll be with the Lord for all of eternity, and we're going to know each other, after the flesh. And won't that be nice? Because right now, we're kind of trapped in this, there's things about each other that we just don't really like. Because we all have flaws. That you're all acting like, not me. Oh yeah, we all do, right? And we all do. I don't even want to go around the room and ask everybody, what things you think are negative in my life. I just don't want to know. Ignorance is bliss, right? But someday, after the flesh, and by the way, you say, will we know each other in heaven? Yes. We will, right? My grandpa used to say, we don't get stupid when we go to heaven, right? Of course. Right? We're going to know each other. Even when Moses and Elijah came down to Mount Transfiguration, even disciples knew who they were. I mean, we're going to know each other, right? Knowing no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. Now, so, did they know Christ while he was in the flesh? They did. I mean, they literally walked with him. Yet now henceforth know we him no more. We walked with him, we talked with him, and we saw another side of him, and now he's not walking with us, but boy, do we know some things about him. What did they know about him? That every time he went to a funeral, he raised the dead. That people came to him blind, and he healed them. People came and could not hear, and they could hear when they left. He one time took a boy's lunch and fed 5,000 people. I mean, he started and thought that they knew these things now about him. Not just in the flesh, but they knew him now after. They knew what he was and who he was beyond that he is God. I go back to my point. people that have a critical spirit have a negative and a pessimistic nature. How, what do we need? We need to see God's view of Jesus. What do I mean by that? That God can take anything and use it in a miraculous way. Amen? God can take anything that's broken and fix it. God can take anything that is lame. God can take anything that is in despair. God can even take anything that is dead and bring life to it. It's hard to look at Jesus through those eyes and have a critical spirit towards anyone and anything. So there's issues in the church, I know, but God can fix that. Well, this person can't, I know, but God can use that. But my family, but God, all things are possible. Amen? With God, nothing is impossible. And when we start looking at things through what Christ is able to do and knowing what can be done, it's hard to stay critical. Amen? Number five, a fifth reason for insecurity and the cure is this, or not insecurity, I gave you the point, for a critical spirit is insecurity. A lot of people become very critical because they're insecure. The cure for that is to learn to accept God's love and acceptance. A lot of people do become very critical because they are insecure about themselves. A critical spirit is a means to deviate oneself by putting other people down. Look over our text for Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, to look at this point. Romans chapter 8, verse number 35. Romans 8 and verse number 35. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you something? If people would accept what I'm about to say, it would help remove critical spirits. God loves you. No exceptions. He loves you. And if you're saved, if you've received His Son, He's accepted you. People that live with a critical spirit a lot of times is because they're so insecure about their own relationship. Ephesians 1:6, He has made you accepted in the Beloved. So instead of rejoicing with others, we many times become very critical because of our own insecurities. The devil loves to bring doubt into our lives in so many different areas. Everything from salvation to, does the person across the room like me? Insecurities based upon the fact that I haven't got the promotion that other people got. Insecurities that I'm not as good looking as the other person. Insecurities of matters of whatever you want to fill in the blank. Ministry, marriage, relationships, abilities, talents, money, education. There's all kinds of things. And when the devil can make you start feeling insecure, that you don't quite meet up to what you think you should be, instead of accepting that God has a plan for your life and He loves you and you're accepted, you could be in no better place than in the will of God. When we don't do that, we become very critical. And a critical spirit will begin to take over our life. So insecurity. I got tons more, but I ain't gonna keep you. Let's do one more. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12, a sixth cause. Hebrews chapter number 12. a sixth cause for a critical spirit is this immaturity. Immaturity. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We're to consider the fact that were people critical upon the Lord?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Did he become critical back towards them? No. And one cause of a critical spirit here is immaturity, and the cure for that is to stay focused on the Lord. When our faith is founded on what other people do, we're in trouble. When our faith is founded on other people act, you're going to be disappointed. There's only one person in the Bible that we are to put our and have expectations for. You ever heard anybody say, "Well, they didn't meet my expectations"? And I know it's a statement, and we all use it, but there's only one person in all the Bible that we are to have expectations for, that we can expect something from, and that's God. Psalms makes it very clear, my expectations are from him. That's it. Now, I'm not saying we don't, you know, trust people, and I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this, if someone fails you, to be expected. Not that we're just writing it off, but it happens, because they're flesh just like you are. They are. I'm not giving people a reason to fail. I'm just saying some people quit church and quit God because of what somebody else did. There's all kinds of people that should be in church this Sunday that aren't because someone did something. That shows who your faith is in. Not in the Lord, because he never failed you. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying this, that our faith can get up on the wrong things. And then our life is full of disappointments. And the more we stay focused on people, the more critical we're going to be. Instead, stay focused on God. I say immature because you know what children do? A child's surroundings is what determines their actions. That's what children do. You know what adults do? Adults base and should base their actions based upon facts. That's why when we went down to the bottom of Mammoth Caves, when they turned out the lights, I thought it was kind of fun. Because I knew they were going to turn the lights back on. I knew we were going to leave. And I knew if all else failed, I had a small little flashlight in my pocket. But my children grabbed my leg. And one of them started crying. Wasn't Alex. Because children base their actions upon their surroundings and their environment. The mature will live upon the facts. And if we stay focused upon the Lord, then the facts should help determine the path of life that we take. And we won't be critical. Because immaturity, that's what kids do. There's been many times I've walked into a classroom and been like, "Hey, quit talking." What's the first thing they do? They were talking. Point at other people. Children have a problem with very critical spirits. And unfortunately, adults do too. And when we do, it's showing our immaturity. Because the mature in the Lord Jesus Christ has their eyes upon the Lord and their expectations from the Lord. And you're able to put aside some of the critical things. Next time we'll speak, we'll give you four more reasons and then nine things to keep it out of our life. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for this study tonight and what we can learn. Please help us to guard against the critical spirit. I have been guilty, and I thank you for this study. It's helped me to guard my life against the critical spirit.